So I didn't actually meet Owen at VidSummit in 2018. I just observed him and his crew. He was clearly someone well known in the content creation industry. And it wasn't until I saw him last VidSummit in Los Angeles, where he did not look anything like I saw him the year before. He was weak. He looked fragile. He was in a wheelchair. He looked gray. And I was standing right there, and I just thought it was inappropriate to even try and introduce myself. Well, I didn't know that he had some lingering health complications from what I recently learned was a bout with cancer. So Owen, who goes by Owen Video, runs a very fantastic media company in Southern California. And when he started off, he was just trying to get anything done for anyone, including putting on kind of props that made him look more like a videographer. As it escalated and he started to build the business, he was diagnosed with cancer. I would never would have known this if he hadn't posted a picture of him with no eyebrows, no hair, and a huge smile on Facebook. It was an old picture, but the caption also included the fact that he still has remnants and a little bit of trauma surrounding the cancer itself and the smell of chemotherapy. Well, this post, along with what I knew about him before, was a no-brainer to reach out and ask him if I could have him on the podcast. Lucky for me, he'd been following some of my content as well, and we know a lot of people in the same circle, so it was fairly easy. And you know what? I'm so glad we had this podcast. It's not just about overcoming adversity. It's about a shift in mindset, a shift in perspective. There's business lessons, there's personal lessons, there's life lessons. And all that is for you on this episode of The Leadership Locker. This episode is brought to you by Tippy Toes Dance, giving your children dance classes aged 18 months to 12 years old. They have franchises all over the country, and because of the pandemic, they actually pivoted to virtual classes that will keep your kids lighthearted, having fun and learning, and just having some of that creativity that we all want them to have. You can find them at tippytoesdance.com. I actually know the founder, Sarah Newsen, her COO, Megan Riley, who happen to be sisters. These two were recently on my podcast. They had a killer story about being on Shark Tank and scoring a deal. And you should really listen to it to find out what happened. So check out the last episode and look up tippytoesdance.com if you're interested in dance classes, virtual or in person. Here we go. And it says, you can smell chemotherapy in your sweat. And you talk about how it's been four years since your journey from hell. You talked about doing chemo through the summer when it gets hot in California, real hot. And I remember being chained to the life savings bags of fluid that filled my body for hours at a time. You go on to say, as summer approaches each year and the studio gets hot, small beads of sweat form above my lip and my temples and the memories come pouring back. Even though I'm well, I can still smell the chemo. And I never knew this, man. I had no idea about anything. Maybe I was trying to just be like, let me not dig. It's none of my business. But when I saw you and this post, which is an amazing post of you with zero hairs on your body, but you're smiling anyway, I was like, wow. God, man, I got to talk to him. This is fantastic. I already watched plenty of your YouTube videos before anyway. I was like, this is just going to be a great way to build a relationship, but also you clearly resonated with me because you're an open book, and I think it's really important. Now, while I've never survived anything like that, I mean, I served in the military and I went through my own trials and tribulations, and it keeps me up at night.
Absolutely.
So that is the longest roundabout way to introduce you, but I want to let you know, first and foremost, I respect what you do. I love what you do for the industry. I'm really just enlightened by that kind of altruistic behavior and putting it out there. Yeah. And can you please introduce yourself, man?
Yeah, Rich. Thanks for having me. By the way, I've been watching you on LinkedIn and all the work and the networking that you're doing over there. It was great to see you with Scott Simpson the other day. And when I was diagnosed with stage 3 thymoma cancer, right? It's this cancer nobody knows about, but it was stage three by the time I went in. You know, I went through this period of shock for a few hours, and then through this like really dark place, and then, you know, realizing that I could either live in the dark place or come out of it. And what I decided to do was to bring other people into the journey with me. And I was very conscious about this. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this by myself. Yep. And so it's almost like instead of sort of doing this private journey thing that I think a lot of, you know, American men want to do. And I understand, right? Because we're tough. I'm a man's man. I get it. But also understanding the battle that's ahead of me. I would have rather built an army around me and gone through that fire with people, with a platoon, right? With brothers in arms, then go through that alone. That's exactly what I did. I woke up the next day in the hospital, still sort of fresh from the diagnosis, but I went live from that hospital room right then and there and told everybody what was going on and that I was going to be very public about it. And I invited them to come along in the journey. And I'll tell you, it's helpful even to this day because I got a ton of support going through that. Now, through that time, I was a videographer doing very much the same thing, you know, finding myself in interviews and creating a show so that my clients can kind of like, you know, present themselves on my show. It's like how we started. So I like respect that hustle. I love to see that hustle. But I had to move into coaching at this point because, you know, I couldn't keep up from the physical demands of being a videographer. And I remember like calling upon people to just be a part of my journey, which was really helpful at that time. And just like dealing with the stress of it all. And I did a weekly report, which was very cathartic for me. Like just being able to sit down and be like, here's what the doctor said today. Right. And even to now being almost 5 years in the clear. Right. But having also gone through other health complications, right. Like hashtag post cancer life. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes wacko in your body because of all the medicine, you know? And so even now to this day, being able to still share that with my friends online and with the people that follow me is still very helpful because I have a place to go. Yep. And, you know, I think so many of us, like you need to have a place to go. You need to have a place where you can say, hey, you know, boom, this is what we stand for. And we stand for life and health and like building each other up and not breaking each other down. And building that community has been, you know, I think pivotal in building a brand around Owen Video and what we do.
So let me ask you this. You got the diagnosis stage three. But you have a business. What stage would you kind of categorize your business in terms of how well you were gaining traction, thriving, you know, all that kind of stuff? How would you categorize your business?
That's a good question. You know, we are on a journey to seven figures, and we are seven figures or bust. I did $100,000 my first year in business, and that was you know, knocking on doors in downtown San Diego, in downtown Oceanside, where I live in the San Diego area, knocking on doors with my video camera in my hand. I wore a little like director's cap and a fishing vest. And I wore a fishing vest because I filled it. This was like 6-7 years ago. I filled it with like film and props to make it look more like I was a legit video guy. Because look, in these days, nobody went door to door with a video camera.
No.
Video for you. YouTube was a place for cat videos at this
Yes.
time. This was not like it was not a thing. So I'm like, man, when I walk in, I would walk into these business and I would go like, hey, I'm a videographer. I'm here to do a video of your business. It's going to be 1 minute long and it's $20. That's it. It's $20 and you'll have it tomorrow. And it's just like, oh, wow, really? Like, what's it for? I'm like, this is what I do. You know, this is my job. I'm a videographer guy. And it was getting harder and harder to sell that. And so I started like without a camera, without props. And so I started like wearing a costume and sort of like having a prop. And oh my gosh, Rich, exploded my business. I would have people stop me in the street. What do you do? Do you do video? Can you help me with video? I blew up.
Yeah.
Door to door, hustling like a boss. And so, you know, we made $100,000 without even like breaking a sweat. I figured everybody made $100,000 their first year.
That's so funny.
I did, you know? During that time I was uploading these videos, to YouTube that were like, you know, how to look good on camera and like how to market this 1 minute video that I'm making you and these different things. I'm doing a lot of SEO at the time. Cause that was sort of the big, like,
oh, I know you're big on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm big on like how, like, it's not a solid strategy for YouTube today.
Yes.
It was 6 years ago.
Yes.
You know, even Facebook pages were new like at this time. And so we were like, get on your Facebook page and I'll come back and do five more videos for $1,000 or whatever the case might be. So answering your question about that stage, you know, we went from videographer to business coach. And business coach is where I began to thrive because, you know, I know how to make great shows. I can take the most boring person in America and turn them into a phenomenal show on YouTube and on Facebook Live. And that's where we started to really discover what we were coaching in, right? I'm a business coach and I'm teaching like YouTube, but I'm also teaching Facebook Live. And I'm also teaching sort of like how to set up your home studio, like all the aspects. And it was too much. And people didn't really know what I did.
Yes.
You know, only does video stuff, but he helped me with Facebook. He helped me with YouTube. He helped me with my business website video. Yeah. And it wasn't until we got into the phase where we're in now, which 2 years ago, we did a product launch for the Video Sales Machine. And if you're a business owner, local dry cleaner, a restaurant owner, and you want to learn how to use video to make sales, the Video Sales Machine. That it's the most perfect course on the planet. And we learned a lot about selling courses and what that means to have a low touch model of coaching where you sort of have these product launches multiple times throughout the year. And we developed a lot of great skill sets, but the cost of running that business seemed to me not to deliver on the promise of entrepreneurialism, which is to have, you know, more time, more money, rotating income. We were working our butts off,
of course,
for these product launches. And then we were spending our profit in Facebook ads, you know, and that's what got us into this new phase where it's like, I want to be working one-on-one with leaders, right? So now I'm kind of moving away from the local dry cleaner. God bless him. We love him. Hustler, grinder. But is the local dry cleaner really going to put, you know, 5 to 15 grand into their personal brand? No, they're just trying to get more people to come into their shop. But there is this level of leader that leads a company or a church or, you know, an entrepreneurial venture, maybe 5 or 6, you know, this man, this woman who has built influence in their life, and they want to take that message global. Right, using video. That's the person that we work with because we want to build a show around them and their personality. And that's what we do really well. And so we're in this stage now where we really know what we do. We're really focused on who we serve. We know who we serve. And we're starting to see the blessings of entrepreneurialism really start to appear in our lives and in our clients' lives.
Did you feel, and I think I'm asking this the right way, like pressure to make sure that you continued and showed up, even though you were the one who needed the support?
Yeah. And I think that getting squeezed in that way really brought out the best in me, and it brought out the best in my wife, and it made our marriage better. And I am such a big advocate for marriage and for strong, healthy, vibrant marriages, you know, and we've done marriage coaching. I wouldn't call it counseling.
Yeah.
But we've done like marriage coaching in the past. It's something that we're passionate about because we found our superpower in really, you know, through this tragedy, right? Coming together and then like, what are you good at? What am I good at? Let's do those things. So, you know, to dig into that, a big moment for me was in that hospital room that first night going, I could quit. And knowing that there are lots of people in the world that would look at this as like finally a reason to stop. You know, I could have quit my business right then and there and not a single person would have blamed me.
Yes.
Right? People would have said, Owen, that's the right thing to do. You know, even my competitors would have said that to me. They would have been like, hey, Owen, I get it. Go take care of yourself. But that's just not who Owen is, you know? And the thought of quitting or giving up on a good thing when I had already given up on myself in the past before, right? I gave up acting and a career in Hollywood entertainment, which I think I would have done well in.
Yeah.
And I gave up on myself there. And that led into years of being a waiter in LA. So I wasn't happy with that decision. And I'm like, no, I'm like, you know, this is the defining moment of my life. This is that moment, you know, when the Russian knocks down and kills Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
And Rocky is like, what am I going to do? Like, how do we move forward from here? Can I just let this go? Right. Gave us one of the greatest movies of all time, right? Rocky
88 IV. Minutes. It's Rocky IV is exactly 88 minutes.
Wow.
You can't win. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. Can't win. I mean, yeah. I'm obsessed with that movie. So the fact
he dies, you know,
yeah.
Look,
I love it.
there was this moment like, well, I can't quit. So what am I going to do? Well, then I'm going to make a spectacle of this, was sort of my thing. It's like, you know, Madonna in A League of Their Own says, you know, ain't no rich chocolate man gonna slam me down, you know, and that's how I am. It's like, no tumor is gonna bring me down. Like, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and so I got real fast. And so we started to build workflows. And with workflows and personal automation, I could build an entire channel on workflows and personal automation using my mobile device and Alexa. We have Alexas in every room in the house. Oh, but Owen, they're listening to you. Yeah, I know. And they're doing what I ask them to do. First of all, if the government's going to find me, they're going to find me. I'm not very good at hiding, right? So I'd rather use the technology. But we have Alexa routines set up. And we didn't at the time. At the time, it was like on our phones and alarms and things where we did certain things at certain times for certain reasons. And it was the littlest thing, like taking supplements. You know, I all through cancer and even today, I take supplements. I add extra vitamin D. I add extra, you know, stuff to my body. And, you know, at first that overwhelmed me because you have like 25 pills that you got to take. But when you have like little alarms and alarm at the end of the night, for example, for my wife to put the pills out, and then alarm in the morning that tells me at 10 o'clock, go take these five. And they're already prepackaged for me because my wife did it the night before. You know, we developed this really like Henry Ford assembly line
for
multiple areas of our business, including getting me to chemotherapy and back again, because I had three kids under five at this time. And so we had to get them to daycare, and then I had to drive myself to chemotherapy. Oh, and by the way, you ever tried driving home after chemotherapy? I had to leave chemotherapy in enough time to go get the kids, because you're in chemo for 6 to 8 hours. Right? Go get the kids, bring them home to where I could then, like, I'll buy it within 90 minutes, because at 90 minutes after chemo, I'm done. You're fried.
Yeah.
Right. So we created like these automation systems that became so clear. And it was where we struggled before. When I was a videographer and doing more of that route, it was kind of like, I'll do this today and I'll do that today.
Yeah.
We shifted our attention, and this was done through a lot of personal development. This didn't just come to me overnight. I was reading all sorts of books and listening to all sorts of books and watching all sorts of TV during that time. I was stuck on the couch sweating with chemotherapy. Right. And you can smell that chemotherapy in your sweat. So even when you're like out of it, it's still there haunting you, you know? And I fought back by filling my mind. Right, and learning these different things revolutionized the way that we did business. We were able to get more done in less time. My business grew 107% while through chemotherapy, and I received Entrepreneur of the Year from the state of California.
What?
Right?
I did not know that. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
That's when I became Owen Video. When I got that award, I was like, I'm done being normal. I'm done being a regular guy. I'm freaking Owen Video. I just doubled my business and got Entrepreneur of the Year. Bald headed with cancer.
What kind of epiphanies did you have as just a business owner that on the backside of this thing, you know, you mentioned automation and workflows, but did your approach generally to business change?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, the way that I looked at business, it was no longer about, you know, getting by at this point, because I was fired from my last job. I've been fired 22 times, and the same company fired me twice.
Nice.
I shouldn't have reapplied, but I'm like, they won't know me at this location. And
yes.
Then they hired me. And then as soon as they like ran my checks, they're like, we fired you like a year ago. It's like, I know. I had to leave that day. So I've never been really employable. And I remember when I lost my last job, I was very, very frustrated because I was married. I had kids, and I was doing video because I'm like on the side, and I had to come to the reality that I was not good at having a job. And even though that made me happy, I was still like not happy that I was not good at something.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've really failed at having a job. I failed as a husband. I failed as a provider. My wife was making all the money at the time. She was a full-time teacher and raising my babies while I, you know, goofed around with video cameras all day, right? At least
that is what it feels like. I know you could not have said it any better. I, it must have looked like an absolute disaster when I was starting to take this on. So I just want to assure you, I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah. You know, cause I was hanging out in like La Jolla, slanging video, and to my wife's like, you're on the beach all day, you know? And she was never like unsupported. My wife has been the biggest cheerleader for me since the beginning. And she's also my sister in arms. You know what I mean? Like we take on the world together, my wife and I. And so she's always been very, very supportive. And she's like, you're going to do it. You're going to make it. You were meant to be a great person kind of thing. But there's these, it's tough. It's still tough because she was working all the time, you know, came home from school and then had kids to take care of. And I was probably still in downtown, you know, yep, somewhere video. So approaching business from a place where at first it was like, I need to make money. And you get stuck in that. It's called the scarcity mindset. You get stuck in this place where like, man, if I could just barely eke by, then that would be great, you know? But after a while, it was like, we actually make some good money here. It's not about just getting by anymore. It's really about growth and exponential growth. And how do we create wealth? And so, you know, when this whole California thing happened and I was now in remission, right? This is about the end of my year, roughly, kind of when that picture was taken.
Yeah.
And that's when we're like, you know what? I don't need to knock on doors anymore. And I don't need to go to breakfast meetings anymore and pay $13. In fact, these groups are going to pay me to come in and speak to their groups.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what started happening. I was invited by the NSA, the National Speakers Association, to come and speak at their national convention. And I had never done like a national convention before. They flew me out. And it was a great event, standing room only. I had a bald head and I had eyebrows still. And I remember getting on that plane. I had to leave the event early to get back home in time for a chemo treatment. Yep. And it's like my last chemo treatment, I think. And as I got on the plane, you won't believe this. I got on the plane and I went down to kind of like look at my phone and stuff, and my eyebrow fell off in my lap. And I kept my eyebrow. The good Lord, being wise and mighty, allowed me to keep my eyebrow until I got on the plane and went home. Can you imagine losing that in the middle of a keynote speech?
What would you say to people who are still in that I'm getting by, and how to advise them, like, hey, don't pull the trigger too early, or just go? Like, what would you say?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both, because it's kind of like, should I be on video? And I for the most part, it's like, yeah, you should use video, but there are people that have like a drier sort of personality, and you know it's going to be an uphill battle. And so you see some of these entrepreneurs and you kind of go like, well, you know, for you, I'd maybe like, you know, maybe raise the baseline and maintain that and kind of slowly do like a stair stepper thing with big event based. But then there's other people, and I think this is the category I fell into and maybe I still am into, is if you give, like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I have actively sought out mentors in my life because I didn't have them when I needed them. Hmm. So I never want to be in a place where like we could be growing by this much if only I knew that we could be growing by that much. So for those of you out there that know you can do more, and there is gut to that, like there is so much gut to it, but it's got to be backed up by your brain, by the numbers.
Yes.
Right. And that's always been a struggle for me as a creative person, right? Is looking at my P&Ls and, you know, actually knowing like where we are last year over this year. And in the very beginning, that separated me from all the other video guys, because all the other video guys were more about like, you know, the best camera or the flashiest view. And it's just like, yeah, but what was your bottom line?
Yep.
You know, and I watched these YouTubers that I kind of grew up in the space with. I went on a faster trajectory business-wise. They went on a faster trajectory subscriber-wise.
Yes.
And they're two different things. I think they're both wonderful. But they're two different things, and they're designed for different elements in your growth. I think that there's a time, like, you have to have a good subscriber base or a good like Instagram base or something to even provide the infrastructure for scalable growth. You know, we often say the view, not the video, is going to get you the bigger deals, because when you make a ton of videos and somebody goes to your YouTube channel and they see like, well, this guy's got 1700 videos, but they all have 22 views on them. You know, you're in trouble. But when you have this video, it's got 100,000 views and a client goes and sees that video, it almost doesn't matter what the video is about. It's the fact that you got 100,000 views on it, which gives it credibility.
Correct.
And so there's your social, I think, network matters. And there are times when you need to like get to revenue growth so that you can build your social status.
I agree.
Right? Personal branding. This is a big part of what we do, because our clients are not broke, right? They're not in a place where the video has to make a lead. They're like, Owen, our company's good. I want to spend 6 weeks, you know, developing this YouTube channel so that we can boom, like, and then we're going to write a book and then we're going to do this tour and all these different things. The client that tells me that they don't have time, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people tell me they don't have time up front. And then when they do that first call, all of a sudden the time appears, you know? Yeah. And largely it's because like we don't know what we don't know. And so you've got to stay open to sort of receiving and processing new information. In fact, there was a book, I forgot the name of it, but this book was essential for me. I think it was called Getting Stuff Done or Get Stuff Done.
Yep.
And it was a very technical book. I think I got through about half of it. But have you ever like given up on a book knowing that like, hey, I got my money's worth from this book, even though I almost finished, you know, I need to go back and finish it because I'm probably in a place where I could use the second half.
Yeah.
But the first half was so big for me, and it taught me that you can't just gather, you have to process, right? So it's like you're gathering information and you're in buckets, right? You've got like maybe saved email. I'm gonna go through that later. Or you've got like some bookmarks from articles. I'm gonna go through those later, right? But we went, you know? And yes. So it's helped me to kind of create processing time in my life where it's like, I journal every day, and it's been so effective in being productive. And I process my journal almost every day, but definitely every week. And I go through it and I'm like, okay, in fact, I don't bookmark things anymore. I write in my journal, I need to go back to this blog and keep it, or I need to go back to this video and add it to our training program. I process the things that I gather. And what that helps me to do is to build on my strengths and to outsource where I'm weak.
What are you focused on that is of interest to you that you are wanting to explore and make sure it is part of your core offering if it's not already?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question because, you know, we have our core offering and then we have like the future and where we want to go from here. And so we believe that the future of YouTube is not SEO, it's your ROS. Okay. And what I mean by that, it's the structure of your content.
Can you say what ROS is for the audience?
Yeah, exactly. And ROS is a run of show. Okay. And so what I'm really saying is that it's not about the magic keywords that you put in a title. That's actually going to hurt you. What's really important is the content watchable? Because if one person watches your video for 60, 70%, YouTube's going to send that out to 5 more people now. And if those 5 watch 60, 70, it's going to go out to 25. So that's what matters. Your video could be seen by 1,000 people in one day simply because it was entertaining, when adding a magic keyword might not do anything for your video for 8 months.
Right.
So bringing that back to your question, we believe that, and we believe strongly that with the right structure, any show can be successful. And I've written tons of shows for TV, radio, YouTube, and even for company training programs. We know how to engage people. So our core offer, and the one thing that I'm really focused on and really I'm in love with, is my YouTube Authority Intensive. That's where we work one-to-one with executives to build a personal brand on YouTube that generates leads, generates authority. But we also have this second side to our company where, you know, it's more for the brand. The brand says, Owen, I like it. We need to start YouTube. But who's going to be in the videos? Where do we hire the editor? Or we got a guy, I think, in marketing that maybe edits. And can Susie do the thumbnails? I think Susie can do the thumbnails. Susie died. Oh, well, we have, you know, like there's just all this confusion where my company will be the actor, we'll script it, we'll write it, and we just done for you videos. We've built multiple channels this way. So I love doing that because I get to be on camera and I get to sort of like do goofy stuff. In fact, we just made 30 videos for a brand that, you know, it's mutually beneficial because it's all on video software and then I'm going to be the face of those videos. So I love that part of our company, you know, where we can do some of those things. And what I do is I spend my mornings prospecting brands on LinkedIn for that, while my wife and our inbound marketing really does more of the finding the YouTube authority intensive applications and filtering through them and picking the right people. But the future, Rich, the future is in shows on YouTube. And that's what I'm excited about. Like, there's going to be a chiropractor out there who's going to make a show about, like, you know, like Pimple Popper, you know, that guy, yeah. Right? So it's like so gross. But there's a chiropractor is going to make a show called Crack Me Up, and he's going to do a day in the life of with chiropractic. That's going to be a big show. I want to be a part of it. There's going to be a mechanic who does a show called like Me and My Wrench, and they're going to go huge on YouTube, and then History Channel is going to buy them. I want to be a part of that show. I want to find that mechanic. And so like the future is really like conceptualizing shows.
Yes.
And then finding the people to be in those shows where you know, now you've got sort of like Napa Auto Parts, for example, funding a show that we sent them, and now we're casting it for YouTube. I'm already doing this with a company, and it is so, think about that. Napa Auto Parts becomes a contributor to Netflix or Prime.
I know.
Show, maybe multiple shows, maybe one for motorcycles, one for cars, and one for do-it-yourselfer. That is the future.
I really, really appreciate you sharing a personal journey, the business tips, and your foresight for the future. So, dude, thank you endlessly. And oh, where can people find you?
Yeah, find me everywhere on the web at Owen Video. And if you want to see the deepest depths of my comedic mind, follow me on TikTok.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Leadership Locker with Owen Video. If you took anything away from it, if you enjoyed it, if you were inspired by it, I would absolutely be grateful if you left a review or rating. We've had a few lately, and it's not a coincidence that I've seen a spike in downloads. That obviously helps me get more reach and helps more people like you get business lessons and entrepreneurial lessons from people like Sarah Noose and Megan Riley, Gary Vaynerchuk, Heather Monahan, and other past guests. My goal is to just bring value and bring it to more people. If you are able to take a couple minutes to let me know your thoughts. Last thing, if there's any person or subject you'd like me to cover, please feel free to email me at rich@richcardonamedia.com so I could take it into consideration and make it happen. Thanks.